So tonight is the night when we celebrate the birth of our Savior. For a few moments, I want us to think about his amazing birth announcement, okay? So when a baby's born, there's always a birth announcement. One of the first things parents do is they'll make those excited phone calls. They might send text messages or nowadays post something on social media. It's great news. They want to announce the birth of the baby. And it might be a son, or it is a son or a daughter. It's a grandchild, a brother or sister, a niece or a nephew. So the birth announcement, the announcement of a birth, is some of the most exciting and most important news ever. When Jesus was born then, just by virtue of him being born, it was important news, but his birth announcement was different than any other. It was much more spectacular than just a phone call or a text message. His birth announcement came from a host of angels, as we've been singing a few songs tonight about that. These are powerful spiritual beings, okay? I don't know what you think of when you think of angels. Tonight, we're going to be thinking about who they were, what they were like. Powerful spiritual beings, normally invisible. Okay, most of the time you don't see them, but for that night and occasion they were made visible so that this group of shepherds that we also sang about tonight could see and hear about Jesus' birth. That announcement had to be spectacular. Okay, it had to be spectacular because it had to match the importance of his birth. And that birth and that announcement was in a class all by itself. None other like it in history. And tonight, what I want us to do is just take a few minutes to look at what the angels said. Okay? We've read through the Christmas story. We've read different parts tonight. We're going to read a few more verses. I want us to pay attention specifically to what the angels said and dig into that a little bit tonight as we ponder the birth of our Savior. So, if you have your Bible with you, if you would like to turn to Luke chapter 2, this is one of the places where the Christmas story is. Matthew chapter 1 has another version of it, but we'll be in Luke 2 tonight, verses 8 through 20. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Okay, so this is a spectacular birth announcement. There was never one like that before. There never will be one like this. What was it that made his birth so important? Okay, we got the Sunday school answer, of course. It's Jesus, right? That makes it important. But I want us to look at what the angels said. So first you have this angel of the Lord, a lone angel that shows up first. The angel of the Lord announced his birth. In verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Okay, now normally the first thing that's said, well, I don't know, maybe this is just on TV shows, is something like, "It's a boy," or "It's a girl." So this isn't just, "It's a boy," right? This is, it's a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And then in response to that news, it says in verse 14, and try to imagine this. So you have this, the angel of the Lord shows up and announces the birth, and then all of a sudden, a multitude of the heavenly host or the heavenly army appeared, and I think they sang, maybe they just shouted, I don't know. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. That's what I want us to look at tonight. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. That was the response of this host of angels, this army of angels that all of a sudden appeared when they heard the news of Jesus' birth. So in this story, these angels just appear out of nowhere and they freak out some shepherds. I mean, these guys were terrified, and I would be too. And then they quickly disappear again. It made me think about one of the times when my kids, unsuspecting, is coming down the hallway and I jump out and I scare them, you know, boo, and they freak out. It's kind of fun. That's kind of what happens here. These angels have a very brief part of this story. They show up, they freak out the shepherds, and then they're gone. But we have to remember that there's a lot more going on behind the scenes. Okay, so this is something real. It's not just a story. It's not something that just a flash of like some illusion of angels. These angels showed up. And there's a lot more going on behind the scenes. So if you think about these angels, they have a long history. As you read through the Bible, you look through the Old Testament prior to this time, you see that they actually make several appearances. They often showed up in those desperate situations to protect God's people or to deliver God's people from their enemies. On different occasions, I can't remember the exact number. 185,000 is coming to mind. I think that's right. These angels put 185,000 soldiers to death, just like that. Okay? So these angels have a long history. They show up often. They're protectors of God's people. They were real spiritual beings who lived in the heavens. They'd been around for a long time. They were God's servants. They knew who God was. They knew who God was. They knew what God was doing. They knew what his will was. They knew what it meant to please him. They knew what he was doing in human history because they knew what was going on among mankind as well. And so when they heard the announcement from the angel of the Lord, I think that the response that we read is an exaltation of praise that burst forth from their knowledge of these things, their knowledge of God, their knowledge of humanity, their knowledge of history, their knowledge of mankind's turning away from God. They know all these things, and when they hear that Jesus is born, their response is an exaltation of praise. It's a response. Okay, this isn't just a few lines. It's not like they, you know, it's like, all right, who wants to be in the heavenly, you know, choir tonight? Here's the lines I want you to memorize, and we're going to Bethlehem, and when you show up, say this, you're going to freak out the shepherds, and then we're going to disappear again. No. I think this is their shared response to what they see going on and what they know is going on. They knew who God was. They knew who humans were and the problem that was going on earth. And when Jesus was born, this is what they shouted. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. That's the response to Jesus' birth. They knew what the birth of Jesus meant for God, and they knew what it meant for humanity. And so for God, it meant glory. Glory to God. What is glory? Okay, when I think of glory, the easiest way for me to understand glory is to think of a king. And I guess I think of the descriptions of kings from the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the glory of a king was the demonstration of that king's power, his splendor, his riches, and his might. That was all of that was the glory of the king. And when I think about the glory of God, I see it as essentially the same thing. How does God then demonstrate his glory? Okay, we can kind of see that when it's a earthly king. How does God demonstrate his glory? There's several ways. One of the ways, or many ways he does that is through his creation. Even the frigid temperatures and all this snow demonstrates the glory of God if you start to pay attention to things. Okay? Look at a snowflake. It demonstrates the glory of God. Psalm 19, verses 1 and 2 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge." All of creation is a display of the glory of God. But there's one way that God demonstrates his glory most clearly, and that's through his Son. And specifically, even beyond that, through his Son's salvation of the human race that had fallen into sin. John 1, 14 through 18, which is kind of another version of the Christmas story, says this, "And the Word," this is the eternal Son of God, "became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Okay, that's his glory. Verse 16, "For from his fullness," the fullness of the Word or of Christ, "we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side," talking about Jesus again, "he has made him known." The clearest way that God demonstrates his glory is through the Son, and through the Son pouring out grace upon grace to sinful human beings. The Apostle John, in these verses, points out that it's not just that God demonstrates his glory just by the existence of Jesus, but Jesus, when he was here for those 33 years, did things. And it was all an outpouring of grace, and it all led up to what he did at the end on the cross. And so what John is saying has Christ's work of salvation in view. The grace that John is talking about when he says we've all received grace upon grace, he came full of grace and truth. That grace is multifaceted, but at its core is the grace that we've received, the gift, the blessing we've received from God because of Christ's death on the cross. It was on the cross where Jesus willingly laid down his life and he died for sinners. And that's you and me. We all know it. It's not that hard to see. He died for us because that's who God is. And in doing so, he reconciled us to God. He brought peace, like the angels sang. Because of Christ's sacrifice, God is pleased with all who turn to him in faith. We receive his forgiveness and we have peace with God. And so you're an angel. You've existed for a long time. You know who God is. You know what his will is. You know the mess that humanity has made. And you hear about the birth of Jesus. You can't help but burst forth in praise. And what they said is, "A Savior is born, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth among those with whom he is pleased." An awesome announcement for an awesome Savior, and that Savior brings us peace with God to all who turn to him. And that begs a question for us tonight. Have you turned to Jesus? Are you turning to Jesus? Have you put your faith in Him? Have you begun trusting Him? Are you trusting Him with your life? If not, I invite you to respond to His birth tonight by placing your faith in Him. Maybe you've been struggling with your faith. Come to Jesus. Put your faith in Him. Maybe you've never trusted Him. Jesus has open arms and is inviting you to trust in Him and put your faith in Him. Through Him, as the angels sang, you will have peace with God, and your life will be pleasing to God and bring glory to Him. Let's pray. What an awesome event, Father. If we think about human history, we think about what the Bible teaches us about redemptive history, the fact that Jesus was born, that God became a man so that He would live a perfect life and then die on the cross and raise again so that we could be saved. What an awesome event. I pray that we would be humbled. I pray that we would rejoice. As we've been singing these songs, a mix of rejoicing and solemnity, I pray that our hearts would be filled with those responses as we realize what's happening here, what the birth of this baby really means for us. I pray that you would draw people to yourself, that we would see Jesus and adore Him and trust in Him. In Jesus' name, amen.